Good morning. We have a good opportunity to come together this morning to worship God, and we appreciate all who are present and those who are visiting. We're thankful for your presence as well, and we certainly need to keep in mind those who are out of town, and we pray that they will be back safely with us. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, in our scripture reading there, verses 6 and following, Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing." Some versions say, "Do not worry." I want to talk a little bit this morning about stop worrying and start living. If you think about the amount of time that we spend worrying over things that we cannot change, and I want us to think along the lines of that this morning with regard especially to what Jesus says, and we'll be turning in just a moment to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus says much about that. But when you think about the matter of worrying, when was the last time you heard a lesson on worrying? And if we were to talk about the sin of worrying, would you agree with that? We think about sins as being maybe lying and stealing and cheating and drunkenness and some other things like that, fornication, things like that. But when we do something that Jesus says not to do, when we do that, wouldn't that be a sin? And when we do what Paul says not to do, would that be a sin? What about the sin of worrying or the sin of anxiety? And so I think it's something good to study and to think about this morning. When the Scripture speaks of someone caring for someone else, it often uses the word care. But if it's in the context of a type of care that we should not have, often our Bibles will translate that as anxious or anxiety or worry. So this morning we want to identify exactly what we're talking about. What is worry? It comes from a word that literally the King James says, take no thought. And you might be thinking, well, we're not to be just sort of thinking in general, but it really means something more than just thinking. Some versions say care or take no thought. But when it's in the context of that which is wrong, it's often translated worry or be not anxious. And it literally means a mind that is divided. It comes from two words, to divide and then noose the mind. Merizo, to divide and noose the mind. It's literally a mind that is drawn apart in opposite directions. So it's not just thinking about something, but it's when we're thinking about something that we shouldn't be concerned about, and it ends up dividing our mind. And when our mind is divided, then we cannot properly live the way we need to live. That's why stop worrying and start living. On those moments when we're worrying about things that we should not, then our mind is not focused on what we should be doing at that moment, and we're not really living the way the Lord wants us to live. We're spending our time, we're wasting our time worrying, and we're not living at that moment the way God would want us to live. Our mind is literally drawn in opposite directions. We're thinking about things. So when the King James says, Jesus says, take no thought, it's this idea of anxiety and worry. He's not just saying don't think about certain things, but do not be thinking about things in such a way that is anxious or worry, and our mind is divided. The interesting thing about this word is that every once in a while it's used in a good sense. If you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 22, Paul says that I have the care of all the churches. Paul's care for the churches. Well, that's certainly a good thing. But then it's often used in a bad sense. Turn with me to the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. The parable of the sower, when the seed falls on the thorny ground and it's the cares and the riches of the world choke out the word. The care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. The care of the world. What is that? That is caring for things, thinking about things where it's on worldly things, and our mind is divided, and we're not thinking about obeying God's word. And so every once in a while, it is used in a good sense, but often, more than not, it's used in a bad sense of those cares that keep us from doing what is right. Look over at Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. Take heed to yourselves, lest haply your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, or this party care, drunkenness, and cares of this life, that the day come on you suddenly as a snare. And so, it is used in a bad sense here of a mind that is set on drunkenness, surfeiting. My version says, cares of this life, and that day overtakes us. And so our mind is not focused on what is right. Sometimes the word care is used in a good sense when the verb is used. For example, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 25, that the members have the same care one for another. Well, that's a good sense, obviously, in the local church, where we care for one another. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul says that Timothy had care for the church. Nobody has care for this church like Timothy does. And so it's used in a good sense. But when it's used in the sense of things that we should not be thinking about, then it's often translated worry or anxiety. Now, you might be thinking, well, what are those things? What are those things that we should not be thinking about? Well, then that leads us to our discussion now. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. When Paul says in Philippians 4 and verse 6, and I asked Eric if he would read that. When Paul says, be anxious for nothing, he's using that in the same sense that Jesus is using it here in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, be anxious. Do not be anxious. Or your version might say, take no thought. Or some versions say, do not worry. And so I want to turn our attention now to Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount here in Matthew chapter 6. Now, worry is not just care. We've already established that. Paul talks about how that the members have the same care one for another. Timothy cared for the church at Philippi. Worry is not just care. Worry is something more than that. In other words, somebody might say, well, I just heard a sermon on don't worry, so I'm not going to go to work tomorrow. And I'm not going to worry about paying those bills, you see. Or I'm not going to worry about putting food on the table. No, we have responsibilities. And we need to care for our health and our family and our job. We need to care for our relationship with God. And if we're not in a right relationship with God, we need to care about that. And we need to take care of that. Worry is not just concerned care. It is concerned care over that which we cannot control or change. That's the difference. And often, we are worrying about or we're trying to care about things that we cannot control or change. You can, if you can, take care of your health. You might be able to change some things. You can certainly change your relationship with God. We need to be caring about those things. We need to be taking care of those things. But there are going to be things in life that we cannot control or change. We do not need to be wasting mental energy on those things, Jesus says. That's when we're doing that, we're not really living. And so we need to stop worrying and start living. Now, to illustrate this, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27. Well, Chris, what do you mean by something you can't change? What do you mean by something you can't control? Well, let's let Jesus illustrate that. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27, and which of you, by being anxious, by worrying, it's in the context, can add one cubit unto the measure of his life. Can you change your height? Can you change your height? And we're not talking about putting heels on. Can you change your height? You can't. You can't. You can't do that. You can't change things about who you are. If you're a male, if you're a female, your height, that's who you are. You can't change that. It would be like me worrying about adding 3 inches to my height. I need to stop doing that. I can't do it. There are things you cannot change. There are things you cannot control in life. And you do not need to be bothered by that. Let's look at another example. Look at verse 34. Be not anxious for tomorrow. Can you change? Can you control tomorrow? Can you control anything about tomorrow? You can't do a thing about that. You can't control whether it comes or not. You can't control what's going to happen during tomorrow. We're not like that. We cannot have anything to do about that. We can control what's going on right now today, but we cannot do anything about tomorrow. We can't jump into the future and do something about that. There are just certain things that are not our control. And so we are not to have care for those things. But if you stop and think about some things that we spend mental energy on, a lot of it is, well, next week. Or last week. And so we're talking about things that we're spending mental energy on, and we're bogged down in that, and we're not living. We are worried about things that we cannot control. Look at another example of this. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Hopefully this will also illustrate what we're talking about. Well, what do you mean by things we cannot control? Well, let's look at Matthew chapter 10. When Jesus sent out His 12 apostles to preach the gospel, one of the qualities that they were going to have, one of the benefits that they were going to have, is this matter of being able to preach by the Holy Spirit. And this is very interesting in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 19. Look at it. But when they deliver you up, be not anxious. This is the same as Philippians 4:6. This is the same as Matthew chapter 6 that we're going to look at in a minute. Be not anxious how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that hour what you shall speak. That's why you don't worry over that. You're not even in control of that. The Holy Spirit is going to give you those words. Now, this is not a passage for us today. This is a passage for the 12 apostles. But when they went out, when they started speaking, that was the Holy Spirit speaking through them. They had that inspiration. We don't have that. This passage is not for us. So we're not supposed to take something away from this. But it illustrates they were not to worry or be anxious over what they were going to say, because the Holy Spirit would give them what to say. They're not in control of that. He is going to give them. For it shall be given you in that hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak. You're not in control of that. You're not in control of that. And so it helps us to understand what's going on here. When we are not in control of something and we can't change it, then we are not to worry over that. But the Spirit of your Father that speaketh in you. And so be not anxious. And so we need to understand something, and that is that worry is not just caring for something. We need to care for things. We need to care for our responsibilities. Health, family, job, other things. But there are things that we cannot control. We can't change our height. We can't add an inch or two or take an inch. It is what it is. And we cannot control tomorrow. We don't have that omnipotence or that omniscience. We don't have that kind of power. And so we just have to wait till tomorrow comes before we do anything about tomorrow. But we can't do something about tomorrow today. And we're not to be anxious in that way. So let's turn our attention now to Matthew chapter 6. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. And I want to read the text with you. And I want us to talk about some matters about worrying. I don't know if I've heard a lesson on this much, and I wanted to develop this material for my own good. We all have been guilty, I'm sure, of worrying over things that we should, or caring or worrying or being anxious over things that we should not be worrying over. And so this is good material for all of us. Matthew chapter 6, I want to begin reading in verse 25. Let's read down through verse 34 together. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Therefore, I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on? Is not the life more than the food, and the body than the raiment? Behold, the birds of the heaven, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not you of much more value than they? Of which of you, by being anxious or worrying, can add one cubit unto the measure of his life? And why are you anxious concerning raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God doth so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not he much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Be not therefore anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Be not therefore anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And so, three times in this text, be not anxious, or some versions say, do not worry. Worry is caring for things that we cannot control. Let me list four examples this morning. First of all, many worry over what has already happened in the past. We spend a lot of mental energy over things that have happened in the past, and we're dwelling on that. And we're eating up good living today by thinking about what happened last year in this particular occasion or that particular occasion. And often it's past mistakes. Now, I'm not saying don't learn from them, don't repent of them, don't change. I'm not saying any of that. That's another lesson. I'm just talking about mental energy spent over things in the past. You cannot resurrect that and bring it back and change it in any way. You can't. We can't control it or change it. Number two, many worry, and this is often the case, over what has not yet happened in the future. And it may never happen. Often what we worry about in the future never happens anyway. Someone actually did a study of this a few years back. It was a university study where I guess they went and they polled several participants and they asked them what they worry about. It was about 40% of what we worry over is that which is often in the future. 30% was that which was in the past. Large percentages of people worried about things that they cannot control. And it's easy to do. I've been guilty of that. It's easy to just dwell on, well, next week, you know, such and such day next week. And you just, it's easy to do. It's very easy to do. Well, this is coming up. And you sit there, and if you were to look at your watch, it might be 15 minutes you spent on that, or 30, or maybe an hour. If you were to add it all up, it might be several hours. That, what you were thinking about may not even happen. It may not even happen. And so I have seen this in my life. Maybe I know you've seen it. We've all seen it. We've all experienced it. It's easy to do. It's easy to be anxious over what Jesus said, be not anxious. And so we don't want to be guilty of that. And so I thought, you know, it might be good for us to look at something that we don't normally look at. Number three, many worry over what will inevitably happen. You know that there are some things in life, provided the Lord doesn't come again, there are some things in life that you couldn't change it if you wanted to. Old age and death. Well, you know, I'm just going to sit. I'm going to worry about getting older. Well, it's going to happen. There's nothing that you can do about that. We don't need to worry about those types of things. No, when I say many worry over debt, we need to worry about where we're going in the judgment day. But I'm just talking about physical death and physically getting older. Those things are inevitable. You can't change that. And then last of all, and we're going to look at this more next week, Lord willing, in a follow-up lesson, but many worry over what is happening now, but it is really trivial and less important to the bigger picture. And we're going to talk about Martha next week. Martha was anxious. She was worrying over that which was less important. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to Jesus. Martha, it's in the here and now. Martha wasn't worrying about the past or the future. It's in the here and now. But it was things about preparing a meal and getting the house ready. That was really more trivial than listening to what Jesus. So worry is concern and care over that which we cannot control, that which we cannot change, and really that which is not important, if we're talking about something that is going on even today. So let's turn our attention now to Matthew chapter 6. I want to look at some elements of what worry is according to Jesus. Number one, worry, this is care and concern over that which is none of our business. It's not in our control. Number one, Jesus says worry is distracting. Look with me again at the text in Matthew chapter 6. Did you notice in verse 25? Look with me at the text in verse 25. Notice it says, therefore, therefore. That's a conclusion. Jesus has been saying something from verse 19 down to verse 25. You know what he's saying? Go back to verse 19. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not treasures upon the earth. If you back up to verse 19, he's been talking about materialism. Materialism, material things. Treasures on the earth, where the moth breaks in and so forth. Come down to verse 24. No man can serve two masters. He will either hate the one or love the other. He will hold to one or despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, which is the god of things or earthly things, material things. Therefore, I say unto you, be not anxious. It's a conclusion to what he's just been saying in verses 19 through 24. And that's materialism. You're going to have to pick a choice. You either lay up treasures on the earth, material things, or in heaven. You either serve God or you serve mammon. You're going to have to make a choice because you can't do both. And what worry does is worry gets us focused on material things off of spiritual things. And now we're divided. Now we're divided. We're trying to do both. We're trying to think about both. We're trying to put an emphasis on both. And you just need to stop it. You need to stop laying up treasures on the earth. You need to stop serving mammon and pick one. Pick the right one. And so worry about material things lends itself to this materialism of life. And now we're distracted. So, Jesus says, be not anxious, because it ends up distracting you. It's like trying to serve two masters. And we need to make that decision. Obviously, we need food, shelter, and clothing. And Jesus says that God will take care of those things. And jobs are a part of taking care of those things and all of that. We have earthly responsibilities. There's other passages that talk about taking care of our family and taking care of our jobs and so forth. But we've got to be careful that in doing all of that, we're not consumed with a desire for materialism, because then we begin to worry about those material things and it distracts us from what is important in serving God. Number two, Jesus says worldliness is really, it's absurd if you think about it. Now that's a word we use. Come with me to verse 26. I'm using the word absurd, but Jesus is putting it this way. He's saying, look, God takes care of the birds, and God takes care of the flowers. You're more valuable than that. It's absurd to think that he's not going to take care of you. It's crazy. You're of more value than birds and flowers, and God takes care of all of them. He's going to take care of you. Don't worry about those types of things, because God's going to take care of you. Behold, the birds of the heaven, that they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feedeth them. Underscore this in your Bible. Are you not much more value than they? This is not an evolutionary process where we're all animals and we're all things and we're all material things. We are the height of God's creation. In Genesis 1 and 2, man was the height of God's creation. We are more valuable than animals. And we need to hear that in today's society where it's, well, where we're just all animals. And you treat humans the way you would treat a whale or something like that. We're just all the same. No, we're not. were of more value than they. Now, we don't need to mistreat animals, and we don't need to mistreat our environment by any means. But it's not just all that we're just all on the same plane. Well, if you abort a baby or if you kill a whale, it's all the same. I don't think so. And so it's absurd to think that if God cares for birds and flowers and he's just going to neglect you, that's crazy. You're of more value, so think. Jesus is saying, think here. Worry is not a part of your life because God is going to take care of you because you're of more value than things that he already takes care of, birds and flowers. Come on down to verse 27 through 30. He's talking about, you know, not adding one cubit, and he says that these lilies of the field are clothed. If God does so clothe the grass of the field, shall he not much more, underscore that in your Bible, more, are you not more value than they, verse 26. And then, shall he not much more, verse 30. There is a value system going on here. And we are of more value than birds and flowers, and so it's absurd to worry. If God cares for them, he is certainly going to care for us. Number three. Jesus says, worry is futile. It's just futile. You cannot change what you cannot change. So you're wasting your time. I'm wasting my time. It's worthless. It's completely worthless. You cannot, verse 27, you cannot add one cubit unto the measure of your life. Whether it's talking about your physical height, or whether it's talking about adding time to your life, you can't do it. So it's just futile. It's worthless to worry about those types of things. We're wasting mental energy, wasting time, and so stop worrying and start living. If you spent 15 minutes worrying about adding a cubit to your life, that could have been 15 minutes you could have used to serve someone else, serve the Lord, do something good. We're just wasting time. It's easy to do. And so it's something that we need to think about. So number three, it's just futile. It's just worthless. It's completely unnecessary. You cannot change what you cannot change. You know that old expression, there's no sense crying over spilt milk. We would say something like that. I mean, you can't unscramble a scrambled egg, they say. You can't do it. I mean, there comes a time when there's some things in life that you just can't change. And so you have to move on to something else. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Number four, worry shows a lack of faith. Now, here's where it gets even more spiritual. We're talking about a situation where if we're doing such and such, Jesus would say to us, O ye of little faith. Now that becomes spiritual in nature. We're not just talking about, well, Chris is trying to advise some things this morning that, you know, if we did it, we'd go home, it'd lower our blood pressure a little bit. And, you know, there'd be some. No, we're talking about our relationship with God. We want to make sure that we're right with God. We don't want to be faithless. It can begin to exhibit a faithless approach. So, look at verse 30. O ye of little faith. Now that becomes serious. When we are worrying about things that we should not be worrying about, it shows a lack of faith in God. I find it interesting that Jesus uses this expression in the book of Matthew. Turn with me and let's look at three other examples. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. Do you remember when there was a storm on the Sea of Galilee? And they come to Jesus who's asleep in the boat and they wake him up saying, Lord, save us. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds. Turn with me. Notice that fear is the problem there. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14 and verse 31. This is another storm on the sea and Peter is walking on the water. He begins to see the waves and so forth, and he's concerned about all of that, and he begins to sink. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and took him and said, O ye of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? In the last verse, it was fear. Why did you fear, O ye of little faith? Here it's, why are you doubting, O ye of little faith? Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 8. In talking about the teaching, the false teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, Jesus was warning them about their teaching, verse 12. He wanted to warn them about their teaching. But they thought he was just talking about bread, leaven, and bread, verse 8. And Jesus said, O you of little faith, why reason ye yourselves because you have no bread? It was the human reasoning that they're thinking that caused them to have lack of faith in what he was saying. Their thinking caused the problem. Peter's doubt caused the problem. The disciples' fear caused the problem. And what would Jesus say with regard to Matthew 6? Worry. Worry is now the cause of the problem. And you know what's interesting about this is there's actually kind of a correlation between the two. What happens when we sit down and we're going to have a worry session? What do? Well, we start thinking. We start human reasoning. Start thinking. Then we start doubting. Then we start fearing. And it leads to worry. These are situations where Jesus would say, O ye of little faith. We need to trust God more. It's going to be hard to keep things in the past and things in the future out of your mind. It's going to be hard to just, I never think about that. But when one of those thoughts comes into your mind, immediately think, well, I trust God that things will turn out right. We can't stop thinking about the past and stop thinking about the future, but we can stop worrying about the past and worrying about the future in how we mentally deal with those things. This is interesting. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Number 5, worry is worldly. It's what the world does. And we're to be different from the world. We're not to act like the world. Jesus says in verse 32, for all these things do the Gentiles seek. He's making a contrast. That's what they focus on. Food, shelter, clothing, all of it. They're out striving for that. They're out thinking about that. You're supposed to be different. As one of my followers and disciples, you're not supposed to be like the Gentile world out there. There's a contrast there that's being made. You're supposed to focus on God and put God first and trust in God. The Gentile world, who doesn't have God in their life, they're scammering and scurrying about, worrying about the things of this life. We don't need to be acting like the world. Our trust is in God, unlike the world. Their trust is in material things. Worry is unnecessary. Jesus says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's the worldly manner of life. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. It's completely unnecessary. You don't need to concern yourself with what God will take care of. He's going to take care of it anyway. Stop and think about that expression there. Look at verse 32. Your father. Look at verse 26. Your heavenly Father feedeth them. We have a heavenly Father. You fathers here this morning, you parents here this morning, think about this for a little bit. Do your kids need to worry about if they're going to have something to eat for lunch? Seriously, you're going to take care of it, aren't you? You're either going to go buy something at a restaurant, you're going to go home and cook it. You got it taken care of. It'd be like a little child. Well, what am I going to have for lunch? Well, you as a parent already know that you're going to have that covered. You got that base covered. And that's like our Heavenly Father up in heaven. We're down here worrying about it. He's up there going, I've already got that covered. It's like a father-child relationship. It would be like a child worrying about clothes and food. You already know that your kids are going to have something to wear. You know that they're going to have something to eat for lunch. You're going to take care of that. It's the same relationship. And so it's completely unnecessary. You would say to your children, If they're bothered, they're poking you and bothered, you'd say to them, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. We got that covered. It's unnecessary for you to be poking me and asking me and bothered by this and that. That's unnecessary. I've got it covered. That's what God is to us. And Jesus is saying, you have this Heavenly Father and He knows what you need. It's going to be taken care of. He's concerning Himself with that. He's going to take care of that anyway. So it's completely unnecessary. These are very helpful things, I believe, that what Jesus is saying in helping us to control some things. There are things that happen in your life. It may be a major health issue like cancer. It may be a loss of life. It may be a major thing that gets you to stop and think, I need to learn these lessons on worry and let some things go. There are going to be things that happen in your life that you cannot change or control. And it's those things that Jesus says not to worry about. Worrying is just outright prohibited. Like I said earlier, have you ever heard of somebody talk about the sin of worry? Well, we don't hear about that much. We hear about the sin of adultery or the sin of lying. What about the sin of being anxious, the sin of worrying? Didn't Jesus say three times here, be not, and we're being the very thing that He says, be not? And so we're doing what is prohibited. That's just as wrong as doing something else in the Bible that is prohibited. Some versions say, take no thought, I believe the King James. And again, it's not just a passing thought, but it's this where our mind is divided and bothered. And so it's translated anxious or worry. We're doing what is prohibited, and that's wrong. Anytime we would do anything that's prohibited in the Scripture, would be wrong. And it's hindering. That's why we need to stop worrying and start living. It hinders living. It hinders putting the kingdom first and serving God. Seek first, but is a contrast. Verse 33. Stop this worrying, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. We can start living the kingdom life and serving God. And if it was 15 minutes we wasted, that could be 15 minutes in God's service, or an hour, or half a day, or even more. That can be in God's service. And so it hinders us from putting God first. It hinders us from serving Him the way we need to serve Him. And then last of all, as if we don't have enough trouble today, what do? We borrow it. As if we don't have enough already. We borrow it. We bring it forward from the past. We bring it back from the future. And we're paying interest on borrowed troubles. We can only live for today. And so one last point, worry, verse 34, is trying to get tomorrow, today, and you're trying to borrow it, bring it back, take the future, bring it into the present, and be bothered by all that. Be not therefore anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient unto the day. That's today. Today is what Jesus is saying, live in. Put God first today. Live in today. Quit trying to borrow tomorrow. Live one day at a time. Now, in our next lesson, we're going to mention more of what worry does with regard to killing today. And we're going to talk about how it hinders us more, the problems that it causes, and how we can overcome that. But understand that it brings us down. It burdens us. It troubles us. And we cannot live properly by it. So what started off as a discussion on being careful about materialism, Jesus brings that into a discussion of be not anxious, be not worrying. And I believe we need to hear about these things because we often spend a good part of the day being consumed with these things. And you know, there are many people in the world who are taking all kinds of pills for anxiety disorders, anxiety problems. Christians are included in this, and we're otherwise well off, we're otherwise healthy, we're intelligent, we have good things, and yet we're paralyzed. We're paralyzed. We're, by just sitting there and killing a day over worrying, our peace of mind is robbed, and that's what Paul says there in Philippians chapter 4, that we can have peace, but it's robbed because we're anxious. And so Paul would agree with Jesus. Be not anxious. He says the same thing that Jesus says. And Paul certainly had much to worry about, but he chose to let that go and be at peace with God. Lord willing, we'll look in our future lesson at the types of things that burden us and bring us down with worry and the biblical steps on how to overcome that. But I wanted us to look at this morning because I believe that it's not looked at enough. And if you think about the types of things that you worry about or what I worry about, we need to hear these statements. Be not anxious. And we need to understand what they mean. We need to see them in context and begin to apply them. The devil wants to bring us down by getting our minds distracted. Remember James, a double-minded man is unstable. So he brings us down with this double mind. We're distracted. We're going different directions. And our service to Christ is killed. And he can use worry to do that. We need to start living for the Lord. One thing as we close this morning with regard to the invitation. One thing that hinders our obedience to the gospel or coming back in some way is worrying about things that we can't control. Well, what about a family member who died and never obeyed the gospel? You can't control that. What about my grandmother? What about my grandfather? And what about this? And what about that? And I'm worried about this and I'm worried about that. But I haven't gotten up and done anything. I got to stop that and get up and do what I need to do. I can't change the past. I can't change. And I have relatives just like you have relatives. If you go back far enough, you'll have relatives who died and they did not obey the gospel. But I can't control that. I can control what I need to do today. Today. Sunday, May the 25th, today, I got to start living. I can't control that. Well, what about in the future? I can't control that. Right now is what I can do. And so don't let the devil hinder us and kill us from doing what we need to do by worrying about things that we can't even control. It really does cause a problem. And people won't get up and do what they need to do. If you talk with, well, I'm bothered about this, and I'm bothered about that. And much of it is they can't even change that. And it keeps them from changing what they can. And so as we close this morning, as we sing the song of invitation, change what we can change. And if you're subject to that invitation, if we can help you, if we can assist you, why won't you come as we stand and sing?
All to Jesus.